Excuse me, Mr. Langseth, if you'd like, we could have the clerk explain it. It'll only take a second.
No, it's okay. I was just a little...
It's a good question. It's a very good question.
Hi, Mr. Langseth. The first minutes that they approved were from the consent calendar from February 3rd.
Oh, okay.
Second one is the actual finance meeting.
Okay, I got it. Thanks.
Okay, good question. Thank you. Okay, so moving on, PCR 22-20, we will go to item number two, PCO 719, that is the pension board. And I am going to hold that until the first meeting in March. I need a motion to hold till the first meeting in March.
Motion to hold on March 9th. Seconded.
We have a motion to hold till March 9th. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Item number three, PCR 195-19, a resolution relative to creating a commission to study health insurance benefits. I'm asking for a motion to hold on, I'm sorry, that's Councilman Sinapi's. Councilman Sinapi, PCR 195-19, a resolution relative to creating a commission to study health insurance benefits.
All right, so hopefully the resolution speaks for itself. This is basically to address a lot of misinformation that was floating about, especially when we're considering the last CBA, so that the city council can get better educated as to how this works, general public, and those that attend, and also so that we can learn from our union reps and from our retirees and from our administration as to the situation with finances and the benefits going forward, and so we can determine what, if anything, we can do differently and what we can't do differently by law.
And I assume you're requesting favorable action?
Yes, please.
Okay. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Council President.
So I was just looking at the makeup of the committee. So Councilman Sinapi, you'd have an appointment. I'd have an appointment. The president or leader of the aforementioned union. So when you say that, are you talking about a particular collective bargaining group?
So it should be that the unions were named in here individually and that it's one member from each union?
Because it doesn't say that. Says one person designated by the president. Okay, each aforementioned union. So are you talking about municipal, police, fire?
And city. Yes. Municipal, police, fire.
And there's no members of the public?
Unless you want to designate someone.
I mean, seems kind of lopsided, that's what I was saying.
The purpose is to help kind of correct the record and to learn about the benefit structure and what's allowed and what's not allowed
if you're listening to one side, that's, you know, what I'm saying is I think that if you're going to have a discussion or a debate of ideas about what's best, I would think that you'd also want maybe a person from the Chamber of Commerce, the Central Rhode Island Chamber of Commerce.
Sure, I'd welcome an amendment, a friendly amendment, as far maybe, as a designee from a member of the public by me, because I have someone in mind.
A public of what?
I'd welcome an amendment where it would say that I can designate a member of the public because I have someone in mind who has ample financial experience.
So you're asking for to have two appointments then?
Two?
What's that?
What's the other one?
I don't know. It says Councilman Sinapi as chairperson. Well, I didn't know if you met your designee, so you would be there.
Yep.
And so I was thinking about somebody from the business community also. and maybe a person that is maybe from you know, a resident, but right now that would give you 1, 2, 3, the personnel department as designated by the mayor and the mayor. So is that somebody from the personnel department?
That's what it says.
Yeah, so, and somebody from the finance department. It just seems like there's all people from the administration or from, you know, the council. There's not too many people, you know, as far as residents go, or people.
We represent the people. The whole point is so that we can get an idea in this. This isn't an us or them scenario. This is a group of people who are trying to figure out the situation.
What I'm saying is, you want a recommendation to come to the whole council. So I was asking you to consider putting some people on there that aren't just from the administration.
There's plenty of people on there not from the administration, including someone of your choice.
So, and maybe I misspoke, but there's two people from the administration and there's one person from each bargaining unit, and I just, you know, that doesn't mean that, as I said, that there's residents or taxpayers that are represented on that.
Again, that's our purpose. That's literally why we exist. This body exists. We represent the taxpayers. So again, though, like I said, if you want to add a designee on my behalf, I'll add another person in. I know someone who's a resident and a member of the business community who has more financial experience than I can ever hope to have. I'll gladly put them on. I don't have a problem with that. What I would have a problem with is making the committee too bloated as far as people goes, because then you're not really going to have a discussion so much as it is just a mob. I want to actually be able to learn, and I want people who come to learn. I don't want it to be a heated back and forth, because that's not what it is. It's about learning. Everyone on this committee should be learning together, not fighting over things, because that's not the point.
So you're saying if a resident is there, it would cause fights?
Nope. Apparently you are, though.
No, I'm just saying that I think that we don't have much of a cross-section of society represented in this list.
I mean, we have Ward 8, we have Mr. Rick's ward, we have your ward or your designee. That's 3 out of the 9 wards right there. The reason why we don't have every council member on here is because what happens when we do have a committee with that many people on it, it's
too
bloated.
How about a member from the chamber, designee from the chamber?
The Chamber of Commerce?
Yeah, the business community.
Like I said, I already have someone in mind if you want to have someone from the business
community. Well, I was just going to have them make their choice and not leave it up to us. They could choose whoever they want.
Like I said, I have someone in mind. And second off, this whole thing, it would have been nice to hear about this prior as per our usual protocol rather than hearing about it at 6:19 tonight that you had ideas or suggestions.
So there's a protocol where people get advance notice of not only this, but meetings? Is that what you're saying?
Regarding items to be discussed.
I mean, I didn't even get advance notice of meetings. So, I mean, this wasn't...
I think you're straying off the topic at hand.
Well, you brought it up, not me.
No, I brought up the protocol as far as discussing changes.
I mean, this happens all the time on the floor where amendments are made. The protocol is that
we discuss it prior. And when that doesn't happen,
I mean, when I looked at it, it dawned on me. So...
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that it dawned on you now, but I'm not going to make a split-second decision and add a glut of people because it dawned on you at this moment. If you'd like to add one designee for me, that's fine, but otherwise, this is going to happen.
Okay. Well, I'll make a motion at the appropriate time then.
So, excuse me. I'm not going to go back and forth on this. But I think it's absolutely imperative that at least one representative from the public have a seat on this commission. And when I say the public, I mean a taxpayer, at least one person who is paying the bills. And I don't see anything on here now. What I do see is I see in three different areas as designated by the mayor or department head. That's what I see here. And that seems to me that of the members that are going to be sitting on this commission, there's a fair amount of them that are going to be appointed by the administration. And I'm curious as to your reasoning why you have not included the finance chair in this commission, being that this is probably one of the largest financial issues that we have in the city.
The titles of the various people don't matter to me. What matters to me is getting this heard and getting this done. And I also don't buy into the whole dynamic of the mayor versus the council. So the fact that there's designees of the mayor, again, doesn't do anything for me. The reason why they exist is, you notice, it's a department. If I wanted to stack the deck with this whole us versus them scenario, it would just say 10 people from the mayor. No, it's from the personnel department because we actually need to know what they have to say. It's from the finance department because we actually need to know what they have to say. Because the problem we keep running into on the floor is that we don't necessarily have all the information we need from the people we need. And rather than guessing, which is what happens far too often, we can actually have everyone together and talk about it together rather than one at a time, and then we talk to the next party, and then we play telephone like I'm in freaking high school. It's a waste. This gets everybody together like we need to have together. And again, it's not an us versus them scenario. No matter how many times people want to put it into that box, go for it. You're wasting your time. I got a generation of relatives and family that live in this city that pay taxes, all right? I have no interest in hurting them. And frankly, guess what? I'd like to be able to own a house, and I can't due to my tax burden. So guess what? I actually have an interest in this too, shockingly, as many might find it. So the continued presumptions and the attacks and us versus them, just annoying and a waste of time. We're all far past high school. Let's act like it.
Well, Councilman Sinapi, I don't find it annoying or offensive or unreasonable to have a member of the tax-paying population other than a member of the city council serving on a commission such as this.
I already said I'd welcome an amendment so that I can add a member of the public. I said it several times, in fact.
A member of the public that you are going to select?
Is that
a member
problem?
Of the public that's going to volunteer to serve on this commission?
It's both, because I don't have any power to command someone.
No, I understand that, but there's two different things between you selecting someone and a member of the public just independently coming forward and saying, you know what, I'd like to serve on this commission because this has a significant impact on what the costs are to the city of Warwick.
My stance is the same.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Sir.
So I just had a question to the sponsor. There was a specific individual named in the resolution. Was there a specific reason that individual was named?
From the perspective he can offer for retirees, because like I said, I didn't want the committee to be bloated. So to do it, ideally what you'd have is a representative from each union, from the retirees. So each single one, that's too many. The committee would be far too large to get anything done. So instead, I contacted a few people and found out Mr. Simonini would be pretty darn well suited for the role, at least given the situation. Obviously, it's not perfect. He can't represent every retired employee for all the different unions, but he's going to do his best to at least convey the interests that retirees have so that we have that perspective, because obviously, I'm not a retiree. None of the other members are going to be retirees. We need to have someone with that perspective there.
My other question was a kind of statement as I'm sitting here thinking about this more is somebody from the health insurance field, since this is what we're talking about. Someone as you know, from an organization that has health insurance experience that might be able to advise us regarding costs.
Yeah, so my thought on that, because I ran into a similar problem when it came to getting all the specific areas, is that it made more sense, rather than, again, packing the committee, to have someone come in for one or more of the meetings to explain that, like a professional from, let's say, the trust or from Blue Cross, et cetera, who can come in and explain, here's how this stuff works. Because, again, what I want, and I want the committee to be, is about learning things. And you're absolutely right, that perspective would be vital, and I want to make sure we get it. And that's my plan as far as how to do so. Because, again, otherwise we'd have a glut, because then I'd also need an attorney to come in and give us everything. I need someone from the health side to come in and do everything. It would become a long list, an actuary, an auditor. I mean, it gets ridiculous, unfortunately.
Anything else, Mr. President?
Yeah. As far as the six-month deadline goes, how do we come up with that? How often is the commission planning on meeting? And
sorry for the pause. I'm trying to recall the reasoning for the six-month deadline, because this was a while ago at this point that this was drafted. I know that the plan as far as meeting was as often as scheduling permitted and as often as necessary, at a minimum of once a month, at a minimum, likely more than that, because I don't want this to drag on. It's too important of an issue. And frankly, the sooner we get it a handle on it, the better.
So would you have an objection in making that a sooner period of time, considering all the reasons that you just stated about, you know, that it's an important topic?
No, because I don't want to rush it either. You got to balance both ends of it, unfortunately.
You don't want to rush it?
You can't rush something this vast. That's how you make mistakes. So you need to be able to go quickly and cautiously and wisely without jumping off the cliff by accident.
Sounds like some of the arguments I made recently about how much time we should take to get information on things.
There's always the question of what information one person feels is vital versus another, but that's a story for another day.
Yeah, it's a question of how much it's going to cost you and how long it takes you to figure it out. You're saying it's going to take you 6 months. So it's refreshing, that's all.
It's 6 months to learn the vital components of, let's see, 3-4 different CBAs and all the intricacies and whatnot around it, considering it's multiple areas of professionals. Yeah, no, that seems fair. That makes sense.
So you don't want to put anybody on there that's going to sit there from our health insurance company, or would you have an objection to that, that would sit there from our health insurance company giving advice at each meeting as they hear issues come up? As you remember, the actuaries came before us, and they were the ones that really red flagged the issue, not only in September, but in years past, about the costs. And they were talking in particular about the benefit structure. So I think that it would be helpful to have somebody from our health insurance company, you know, a designee from the health insurance company to advise us what's driving the costs and what's driving the issue with why our unfunded liability on healthcare is over $400 million. Basically what they told us was it was the benefit structure plan that needed to be looked at. So would you have an objection to put somebody on there from our health insurance company?
I think I already addressed this by pointing out that we have no problem actually having them come and help educate us on the topic, and if that was deemed necessary for more than one meeting, we can absolutely do that.
So you would so if we made an amendment to put somebody on there from the health insurance company, you would have an objection to it?
Right, because then at that point we should put someone on there from one of the actuaries, one of the auditors, a lawyer for the legal side. It becomes unwieldy. I wanted this to actually work, not be an exercise in futility.
And we also want to be accurate.
Which is why they'll be not only allowed, but invited, welcomed, and encouraged to attend from time to time so that they can help educate us and so that we can field questions.
Go ahead, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions? Councilman Ricks.
Question through the chair to Councilman Sinapi. I'm unclear on one item where you referred to a resident of Ward 2 being on the commission, and I'm not certain who that would be.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm sorry.
Okay. Perhaps I misheard the earlier statement. Thank you.
Councilman Ricks, I heard that comment that there was a representative from Ward 2.
Oh, now so I understand.
I don't know what the... Okay.
All right. So before, Councilman Ricks was actually listed on here. He has escaped. So ideally, he'll be back in unless he has any objection to that.
No objection here.
Councilman Cawley, did you have any questions? Councilwoman Travis? We have questions from members of the public. Sir, state your name for the record, please.
My name is Richard Langseth, Bud Long Farm in Warwick. And I don't usually talk about this kind of thing, but my partner and I were contracted by the City of Warwick to gain some understanding of the health care cost. This was a good number of years ago. I am now in the healthcare business. I work for a Medicaid agency. I've got a degree in this. I've been doing it for 50 years. I'm a resident of Warwick and a taxpayer. So if you're looking for somebody with expertise, you could start right here. I have a problem with the ethics of all of this. If this is a commission, as I understand commissions, the first thing the commission will do will be write a letter to the Ethics Commission and explain that a new agency has been created by the City of Warwick, and please ask all of our members for financial forms. And then any member who is a city employee has to write down, oh yes, I'm a city employee and I'm going to be studying the city employee benefits. And I'm going to be making, I assume, at the end of the day, recommendations about what to do next. This thing's a house of cards. It just can't work, because what you're doing is you're having the city employees investigate their own benefits for their own use, and now I understand you may be bringing in a taxpayer, which is good. However, I look at this kind of like the planning board and the Board of Appeals, where you actually have experts and citizens of the community doing the investigations, having staff come by. Staff makes recommendations, they come to votes, and then they move forward. This is typically the way city governments work, and this is the way the Warwick government has worked for many years in most instances. To have the city employees who have the benefit, who are interested in the benefits, be the commission, it just doesn't make any sense to me at all. Every time they do something, they're going to have to go to the Ethics Commission and ask the Ethics Commission if they can discuss this kind of item. And the only thing the Ethics Commission can do is say, well, this is a class that goes beyond you as an employee. For instance, if you're a taxpayer in the City of Warwick and you're the president of the City Council, what you do, if questioned, you say, well, I can vote on the tax increase because it's a class action that goes way beyond me, which makes sense. However, if you have a whole group of people who are, you know, just getting all these benefits, it's hard for me to believe that the Ethics Commission can say, well, it's a class beyond us, so therefore we can vote on it. It just doesn't make any sense at all. What we need is a citizens' commission, a real one, that goes before the Ethics Commission and presents financial forms and say there are no conflicts of interest, and we are going to study this matter, and we're going to bring in the personnel department, and we're going to bring in the not insurance, but the benefits administrator, because there is no insurance here, you know, despite the fact that everybody thinks there isn't. This is all self-funded. So you bring in the benefits administrator, maybe you bring in the actuary, just like you were running a planning board or a planning board of appeals. It's no different and should not be different. And I would really ask that the city council sit back, reflect on all this, maybe get some professional opinion from their its attorney to what we're really creating here, and then move forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Just state your name for the record, please.
Sure. My name's Rick Casella. My first question or point is in line with Mr. Langseth, in that I think that having citizens on the board is important. The thing that stands out to me is I would think that as a group, if you're trying to assemble people that are immersed in the administration, the delivery, all it seems like everybody in this proposed for this commission has something to do with the health benefits and the structure of the contracts, the receipt of the contracts and the collective bargaining agreements. I would think you guys would all know about this stuff already. So if there's a confusion on how to find savings and changes and how things going forward can get better for the beneficiary of the benefit, but also the cost to the city, because that's important as well, that you would have people outside of the circle of people that should know the most about this as it pertains to city contracts and city government, like the average citizen who may not be an employee of the city, may not be a member of a bargaining group, may not be a politician or an appointee of a politician, but rather someone that has a different health insurance plan at his private work, so that you can get some comparisons and say, well, this is what I deal with my insurance. Here's what you guys offer. Here's the difference. And this is where I see that you can make changes and make savings, because I think ultimately what your goal is, Councilman Sinapi, is to find out how we can pay the least amount of money but provide the best services with the insurance packages that we have today. And then I'm thinking also going forward that we would consider the maybe an audience with some of the competitors to find out. I mean, I know when you go out to bid on this stuff, you look at others, but I believe that many of the contracts have specifics as to what plan. And that's something that I think historically has been kind of hindering our ability to get a grip on the cost. And that going forward, it may be something we have to look into. So we should find out what people with different plans have and what kind of benefits they have, and how their benefits compare to ours, and how we can provide good benefits for our workers, because I don't begrudge anyone a fair benefit, but we also should look outside the box. And frankly, this is a political body. There's no question that 100% of the representation in Warwick at this point right now, historically, is Democrat. And I'm not saying this is Democrat-Republican thing, but as the Republican city chairman, which I am currently, I'm having a hard time finding one Republican or one independent or one person with a dissenting opinion or different ideas or innovative new ideas on any board or commission in this entire city. And so, obviously, if we're looking to find out how we can do better, then one-party rule hasn't really worked. And it's important, I think, for us to include others from different political backgrounds, different ethnic backgrounds, different socioeconomic backgrounds, whatever we can do to make a nice mix of people that can make real changes that aren't, unfortunately, driven by politics or by history. So I think it's very important that we add, at the very least, 30% of the people on this board should at the very least be from the general public, and how you appoint them or how you vet them or find them, I'm sure you can figure it all out without it being political. But I also think that, like every other board or commission that requires minority appointments, the Republican Committee or the Republican City Committee should be involved also. You could say what you want about history and Republicans and President Trump and everyone else, but it's time for us to start to mix things up a little bit. We need to have changes. Warwick deserves a lot better than one-party rule that over 30 years has controlled this chamber and will have historically told you that it was a strong mayor, weak council, and that's always, in my opinion, been the excuse for having things not quite done that the way the taxpayer wanted it to be done. Because there was always some pushback, or it was always like, we got a problem, let's hire a commission, let's get a board, let's get an audit, let's just push it down and then we'll decide what to do later. And then you come up with a solution, or what you think is the right solution, you administer it, and you say, hey, look what we did, we fixed it. But all along, it's been a conglomeration of Republican mayors and Democratic councils that has not been able to get it right, or we wouldn't be out looking to try to figure out how to fix it with this commission. So if you're gonna invest time and effort in trying to make things better, this is the perfect nexus, the perfect start, is to maybe go along with what Mrs. Langston says, because I think there's a lot of ethical questions that are gonna come into play. But this is a very good opportunity for you to show that you care more about knowing, keeping the knowledge in this chamber and getting it out so that the people out there that are suffering because of some of these costs, and the people that are suffering from the indecision or the unknown of what's coming next, get them involved, because that's gonna win you a smile. It may not win you a vote, but it's gonna get people to say, hey, you know what, at least we're trying here. Because right now, one party rule hasn't worked and it's not gonna work going forward. My next point, and I really, it's more of a like, wow, you guys, I appreciate your effort to try to instill in Mr. Sinopoli that it's important to have taxpayers and residents of the city outside of the political circles and outside of the boards and commissions and the bargaining units to participate. So thank you, Mayor, Council President, for bringing that up, and some of you other fellas for backing them up on that. But you guys, it's obvious you don't like each other. And so this rift is not going to help either. His response to your request was way over the line. I mean, that was a reasonable request, and I don't think it was very polite of him to stomp his feet and say, if you want to change my resolution, you can. This should be something that's... Well, let me finish.
Don't make no personal. No,
I'm not making it personal. I'm just saying it was very obvious to everybody in this room that he was not happy that the council president spoke for the people of Warwick, citizens outside this chamber. So that's got to change too, because this is... You know, I'm in a hurry to get this done right, or I want to go slow and make sure it's right, but everything else seems to be, we're always in a rush. You said that it's been held for, you've had this sitting around for months, but you want to get it done quick. I don't understand. Was it held? Was it not ready? We do a lot of holding on the council as well, so I don't know. I'm not better than anybody else, but I can tell you that I want the best for Warwick, and I hope you guys will work towards the same thing with this commission. Thank you.
Thank you. Please identify yourself for the record.
Rob Cody, Ward 7. So I read this resolution, and what struck in my mind is that the vast majority of the people that Mr. Sinopoli wants to appoint on this commission are beneficiaries of the health care plan. So I have an idea, since Mr. Sinopoli stated this is numerous times, this is not an us versus them thing. So why don't we do this? Why don't we have a member of a commission made up of 9 people. 8 of those people will be from the taxpayers, and we'll have one person that represents all the unions. And let's see what the demeanor becomes then. I mean, we could have Don Fife on the committee, a war veteran whose taxes went up $650, who's being forced out of his home. We could have Captain Jimmy Burns, flew millions of people around this earth safely. His taxes went up $1,106 this year, living on a fixed income. Or Mr. Dempsey, who has enormous background in government accounting. Then myself, and Mr. Cushman, and Mr. Duran. Who put us on there? People that actually have a background in the ability to do research and present facts that are unbiased. And they're unbiased because we're not beneficiaries. So we're going to stack the deck with beneficiaries. And those beneficiaries are going to perform studies to see how we can cut benefits and possibly save money. It's the most insane thing I've ever heard. It's laughable. Now, I think I've been paying attention quite a bit. And even before Mr. Sinopoli was here, we had the actuaries come in, and I can quote the council president as asking the actuary pertaining to the health care, at what point will we be past the point of no return? Mr. Marola asked that question in that seat. And the answer to Mr. Marola was, Mr. Marola, that was 5 years ago. And what have we done since then? Nothing. Five years ago.
Mr. Cody, could we please stick to your comments and your questions regarding the committee, the commission, the makeup of the commission?
Well, this is about the fundamental reasons why we're having a commission. We're having a commission to study the health care.
I understand that, but keep your comments to why you feel or you disagree with the proposed commission.
Well, you don't have the actuary there. You don't have anybody from the health care services there. We're making an $11 million payment a year, if I'm not mistaken, right around $11 million. Last year, our ARC was $23 million. This year, it's $34 million. We're not even meeting that, all right? We haven't been meeting the ARC for years. This is completely biased. And I think you do need to go to the Ethics Commission. But there's no representation on the part of the taxpayer. The only part that we play is writing the check. Our part is in the funding formula. And quite frankly, Mr. Sinapi made a comment that, you know, oh, we do represent all the people. I can, you know, name specific events where the people weren't represented on issues like this. When this council chamber was packed with people on certain appointments and everyone was against it and they were ignored. We're not being represented. So if you want to have this commission, you want to be fair, set up your commission and then set up another commission with the same number of taxpayers. Let them do their research. We'll pay for it ourselves. We'll bring in the experts and let's compare notes. Can't afford what's going on now. The deck is totally stacked, as it's been stacked for years against the taxpayer. We don't know who these people are, and Mr. Sinapi is going to, it's going to be his choice. This is the puppet on the strings scenario. We have no representation, and I find it really interesting, the timing of this, when the finance chairman has put a resolution to look at increasing costs, increasing co-pays on healthcare to try to bail out of us the situation that's putting this city into bankruptcy with a $352 million unfunded liability on healthcare. We're going to put a commission together to study it. I've been hearing that for 10 years. I mean, I have a different mindset when it comes to problem solving, because in my entire life, everything that I've ever done professionally revolves around an ability to solve problems rapidly. Whether it's in an airplane, underwater, up 20 stories on a building. We don't have 6 months. He doesn't want to drag it out, right? Doesn't want to drag it out. February 6th, I wish he had the same mentality. Not
going
to drag
it
out.
Stop this.
Right?
Point of order. Between the Open Meetings Act and Rule 19, this is long overdue. Stop.
No, it's not.
Mr.
Cody, you're wrong on that.
Point of order.
Mr. Cody, stick to the reason that you agree or oppose this proposed commission.
Well, I think I've made my point, but I think I can also address specific verbiage that came from the councilman, that we don't want to make mistakes and we don't want to rush. This is a financial issue. Where's the continuity in that logic of thinking when it comes to the rest of the situation, as I was pointing out, as February 6th?
Point
That's
of order.
My point.
And
right?
Rule 19.
That's my
and
point.
Open Meetings Excuse Act me. Again.
First of all, I can't hear what either of you is saying if one is talking over the other.
I thought I had the floor.
I request a
and
ruling on my
call
point of order.
Point of order. Your point of order, sir?
One, it's definitely outside the Open Meetings Act to be discussing the firefighter contract during this. Second off,
I didn't hear him say
not discussing.
I'm not done talking. And then also, he's bound by Rule 19 to be in this chamber with decorum when he's speaking. And he's obviously not when he's doing personal attacks, as you yourself have noted and stopped him. Enough's enough.
There's no personal attack here, Mr. Chairman.
Oh,
this is about facts.
Excuse me. Councilman Sinapi, are you through?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. So, Mr. Cody, last time. Just, do you have anything more to say about whether this is a good idea, a bad idea, or what you would...
This is a terrible idea, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
And I think one of the biggest points is the fact that the finance chairman has not been invited to sit on this. Right? So this is completely one-sided. Totally one-sided. It's obvious. And I'd like to know what the end result is from this commission. What are we looking forward as the end result? Is it, hey, maybe we need to streamline benefits and save money? Hey, maybe we should pick a couple different health care plans to cut costs? Let me ask Mr. Sisanapi through the chair. What is the end result that we're looking for from this commission? Could we name two or three goals that we hope to achieve?
Mr. Cody, you know we don't answer questions.
Well, there again lies the problem, isn't it? You just said, anyone from the general public have any questions?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that's what this forum was about, right?
Okay.
That's
so
what you
is
said.
Is he entitled to ask the question? Fine.
Of course
okay.
I am.
I stand corrected. Go ahead.
So I would like the individual that's going to put this commission together to maybe give us two or three points of what the goals are associated with it, because the documentation and the resolution doesn't lay that forth to the general public.
Councilman Sinapi?
I've already stated that during this meeting.
Maybe you can say it again for us. I have a hearing problem.
Mr. Cody, I am quite capable of asking questions. Mr. Sinapi, Mr. Cody asked the question. Maybe he didn't hear the answers the first time, and I don't think that it would be a major issue if you could repeat those answers to those three questions, if you would be so kind.
So I'll read it from the resolution for you. To review the legal aspects related to health care benefits as provided by collective bargaining agreements. To review the current landscape of benefits offered in comparison to future benefits, such as increasing the need for more funds to address the prior administration's deferred capital improvement / infrastructure investments. And to discuss reasonable expectations of the unions, the council, and the mayor, and or their designees. I know you mentioned that it wasn't in the resolution, but it is. In addition, the other things that I mentioned during this meeting were so that everyone can come to the table and actually learn a thing or two about everyone else's perspective. Because the big issue that we seem to have, and that I keep seeing, is that everyone has only one perspective and they refuse to consider others. However, when you're forced to sit at the table with those who have another perspective, you don't really have much of a choice other than to actually start considering that XYZ might have a point, or at a minimum, you at least learn and understand why their point is not valid. One way or another, everyone learns at that table, everyone benefits, and we come out better for it.
Well, I read it. I still don't see the goals. I see what you want to discuss, but I don't see what the goals are, because to me, when you set up a commission, you want to have specific goals. And one of them, since this is probably the biggest financial issue in the city of Warwick, which is going to eventually put us into receivership, one of those goals should have been, how can we streamline costs? How are we going to do that? What objectives do we want to meet so we can try to knock down this unfunded liability that goes up arithmetically every single year? We're only making an $11 million payment. We need to make a $34 million payment. That has to be the primary reason for the commission to look forth as to cut down the burden of the taxpayer. I don't see it clearly written. It's not clearly spelled out in this commission. And the fact that the taxpayer is once again not being put forth as first on the list, who's paying the bill, it's ridiculous. And I take objection to it, and I'm offended to the fact that the Finance Committee Chairman is not on it, and that it, at minimum, it should be a 50-50 taxpayer and whoever else. But it's not. Once again, the taxpayer takes it on the chin for political reasons. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Chair, if I may, I have a suggestion, and it may or may not address comments by Mr. Dempsey, I don't know, but one of my suggestions would be that we simply change it so that every council member is either on the committee or their designee. That should give the numbers so that neither the unions nor anyone else on that side has a majority. That gives the people via the council even numbers and even representation. So then also the finance chair would have the option of being on, given that every council member would be on or their designee. That would solve a lot of problems all at once.
Duly noted. Mr. Dempsey.
Roy Dempsey, Ward 1. I come opposed to this, and I'm also insulted. I'm insulted that someone can say to the chair in explaining this particular resolution that they have a lot to learn, that there's information that's out there that they don't have, and yet we've seen for years now we've had financial auditors come before this board, before the council, which we pay for. We've had pension actuaries that come before this council, which we pay for. We have health insurance actuary come before this council, which the taxpayers have paid for. So there's a lot of information out there. I don't see where the heck there's more information that's going to be given that's not already there. And that if these reports were read, you'd be able to come forward with some ideas of how changes can be made. I see an unruly commission being put forth here, one that how are 9 or 10 people in a room, all with varying points of view, going to come with any type of consensus at all? And now we have, apparently, the retirees are going to be organized to the extent that the councilman says that he is apparently, maybe I heard it wrong, he's going to represent the retirees. How is that? How does that go? You know, I see just something where nothing's going to get done. It's sort of something like, hey, let's put a little BS into the system and we'll get this thing so it's never straightened out. Why doesn't my suggestion would be that this particular councilman, and I don't know if any have tied into this, should initiate a resolution with putting forth what he thinks should be done. Put that forth for debate. Let the unions or wherever, the mayor's people, come before and then initiate actions or sell why or why not that particular resolution is good. Apparently, like you, Councilman Lattiser, was going to put forth a resolution which was going to be brought forth for debate. And at that point, various parties could come before you to make suggestions, including every union here and including the retirees. But now there's nothing put forth on paper, and it's just going to be a commission of 10 people, which may not even be a valid commission because there may be legalities as which put forth here. But I would think if we're going to try to solve anything, we'd get something on paper which could then be discussed. The changes that should somebody, whether it's you, councilman, or others, or other council people, think should be made, and then brought forth for debate and hopefully an output which is going to be, you know, palatable to most people, if not all. Everyone's not going to be a winner in it, let's face it. But this thing here, you look at it, it's just a delay tactic. It's just a delay tactic in order to try to run things forward without getting anything resolved. And who gets screwed at the end? The taxpayers. Taxpayers are taking it on the chin. Now, and I'm dead set against this. I believe it gets us nowhere. And I think it's an insult to the taxpayers who, as I said, have paid for all these experts to come before you with all their expert opinion and their reports and apparently aren't being read. Aren't being read by a particular council person who is putting forth this, which is an insult. Thank you.
So, I can tell you this. I don't need a study commission to tell me whether or not what's going on and what has been going on for 20 years is sustainable. We know it's not. We've had professionals come before us numerous times and tell us it's not. And what's happened is, this has just been another ball that's just been kicked down the road. And no one wanted to have discussion on it. Nobody wanted to have debate on it. Because it's a political hot potato. Nobody wanted to touch it. Well, I put forth an ordinance that has forced the debate. Let's debate it on the floor. We can have all the conversations that we want when this legislation has been completed in draft. A study commission that is made up of 7 beneficiaries and 2 council members, that doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense to me that there are no members of the public who are not employed by the city, who live in the city, are not involved in this debate or involved with this commission. I said earlier, prior to the other comments, that it was concerning to me that the finance chair wasn't put on this commission. This is by far the single most expensive budget that we have in this city, short of the cost of the schools. And it's something that everyone wants. I understand, I get it. But it also needs to be, or you need to admit to yourself that it's also something that you want to keep and you want it to be there. And you've heard this for years. And for years, it was just said, okay, we'll leave it the way it is, and we're not going to open up this debate because it's problematic politically to have this debate. And that's okay. Because ultimately the voters decide whether we stay or go. And while I'm here, I want to engage in that debate. And I want to have the members of the public involved in that debate. We've had too many committees and commissions over the years that the members of the public were not included in the debate. And let's have the debate right here on the floor. I docketed an ordinance a couple of months ago. It was discussed. Excuse me.
Out of an abundance of caution, we'd want to leave that item, which okay. is in the ordinance committee, so any of the substantive details
okay. Respect it.
Can come before ordinance at the later time,
okay.
but we're still in finance.
So I am not going to support this resolution, not because I disagree with the concept of the commission or the fact that I didn't have a seat on this commission. I can put forth an amendment to create that seat. That's not going to change the dynamics of this commission. The dynamics of the commission needs to be fairly and equitably weighted so that everyone has a say in what the results are of this commission. And the makeup of it as I see it here now, it doesn't do that. Not in my eyes, it doesn't do that. And before I ask for any additional comment from members of the committee or the council, I do want to defer to our legal counsel here this evening, because there was a point brought up regarding whether or not this commission or its intent or its concept or its makeup has to be vetted before the Ethics Commission. And I think that we need to get some guidance from you on those comments.
As we don't have the fully named individuals here, there's certainly a question for, as we comprise this commission formally with the appointees named, that those individuals at least take into consideration and be in communication with the obligations under the state ethics law.
Just could you repeat that, please, into the mic, please? He's going to repeat it.
The commission is not currently named the nine individuals as presented here, but as the commission were to meet, it would be the recommendation that all individuals participating, once named, or any others that are named through any future amendment, if this resolution were to go forward, would consider and be in communication of the obligations under the ethics laws.
So would your recommendation or suggestion be that we hold this item until such time as the members or the makeup of this committee is identified, and then get an opinion from ethics prior to the formation?
That is a question that is discretionary as far as the members of this committee would like to make the recommendation as to what amendments they would like to make.
Let me rephrase it. In the abundance of caution, not to run afoul of Ethics Commission violations, would it be in the best interest of this committee to make a recommendation that the members of this proposed commission be identified and at such time deferred to ethics for an opinion?
In prior practice, there has been a process whereby designees have been formally addressed for commissions through this council. So there would be a future opportunity to name such individuals. Their underlying obligations, whether we put the requirement in the resolution or not, their obligations, whoever may serve, should take into consideration the state ethics laws. So whether or not it's in this document as a standard requirement, all individuals that engage in these items are ultimately responsible for their actions or inactions as it pertains to the state law.
So, in simple terms, it is up to the individuals who are appointed to this commission to acquire their own ethics committee rulings, if he or she chooses. Short of that, it's not anything that is required to vote on this particular resolution.
Yes.
Okay. Councilman McAllister.
I request a 5-minute recess.
Seconded.
Granted.